All right, so you ever get that thing where you're just like checking email on your phone and it's like your phone suddenly thinks it's running a marathon, just totally forgets how to be a
Oh
phone.
yeah, it's like, come on, I just need to see this one message. Super frustrating.
Right. And it turns out there's actually a fascinating link to how we configure software, which is what we're going to dive into today.
Yeah, this is some really interesting stuff.
So we're looking at this research paper, and get ready for this title. It's called Analyzing the Impact of Workloads on Modeling the Performance of Configurable Software Systems.
Got you, right.
Really rolls off the tongue. But in all seriousness, what does this have to do with my phone like dying when I try to open Instagram?
Okay, so this paper digs into how the stuff we ask our software to do, what experts call workloads, can actually massively change how well it performs, maybe even more than the actual settings we think we're tweaking. Like, you could have what you think is a perfectly optimized phone, but then boom, some big demanding app comes along and it's back to the Stone Age. It's the same idea, just, on a much deeper level.
Okay, so it's not just about the fastest processor or maxing out your RAM. It's more about what you're asking the software to actually DO with all that horsepower.
Yeah, exactly. Think of it, you think of it like a chef, right? You can give them the best kitchen ever, all the fancy gadgets, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
But asking them to, like, chop an onion is totally different from making some crazy five-course meal for 50 people.
Yeah.
Same kitchen, same skills, wildly different outcomes in terms of how long it takes, how efficient it is, maybe even how good it ends up being.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be the chef who only knows how to chop onions when I'm suddenly responsible for some gourmet meal for a crowd. Talk about pressure.
Totally. And software is the same way. This paper really hammers home the point that even if you've got everything configured the same way, the workload, what you're actually making the software DO,
Yeah.
that's what can change the game completely.
Okay, so the workload is like the recipe in this scenario. I'm getting that. But then they get into how some settings only seem to matter for certain tasks, and that's where it gets kind of creepy for me. It's like, is my phone like judging what I'm doing and slowing down on
Well,
purpose?
it's not quite that sinister. But it is this real thing they call conditional influence. Basically, it means that a setting might only actually do something noticeable, like affect performance,
Right.
when it's doing very particular tasks.
Okay, so give me an example of this conditional influence thing. It's
Yeah.
important.
So they use this example of JUMP3R, which is an audio encoder.
Mm-hmm.
There's a setting in JUMP3R that, when it's turned on, can make encoding stereo files crazy fast. Sounds pretty great, right?
Faster is always better. Sign me up.
But it achieves this speed by basically taking those stereo channels and just averaging them into mono. Amazing if you want mono, a total buzzkill if you need actual stereo. So the workload, the fact that it was dealing with a stereo file to begin with, that totally determined whether this setting was a hero or a zero.
Oh, I see. So it's like you've got a choice, but you better make the right choice depending on what you're actually working with. No pressure.
Exactly. And that is precisely why figuring out how well software is going to perform is so crazy hard. Most of the models we have just assume you're always using the same kind of workload, the same, to stick with our analogy, the same recipe every single time.
Which, come on, that never happens in real life. It'd be like assuming everyone who buys a car is only ever going to drive it on a perfectly flat road with no traffic. Ever. We need to know how it handles hills, how it does in traffic, different drivers, all of it, right?
You got it. And the workload, that's basically all those real-world conditions. The more complex and varied they get, the less accurate our nice, simple models become. It's just
Yeah, right.
chaos.
So how do we fix that? They mentioned this thing called transfer learning. Sounds very Star Trek-y to me, but I'm guessing it's more complicated than it sounds.
Yeah, a little less glamorous than beaming someone up, I'm afraid. Basically, transfer learning is like trying to take a model that's been trained on one specific workload, like our car in the perfectly flat road, and
Yeah.
then tweak it to work for a completely different one, like, I don't know, a winding mountain pass.
Okay, so we're trying to adapt what we already know to a new situation, but it sounds like this research hit a snag there too.
Yeah, you see, the problem is this whole transfer learning thing kind of assumes that the important settings, the ones that really matter, that those stay the same across all these different workloads. And what this research shows is that's just not always true. Like that stereo to mono setting in JMP3R. For some workloads, it's completely pointless. For others, it's the key to everything. Just blindly transferring of that kind of knowledge over could lead to some, let's just call them unpleasant surprises.
Right. Okay. So no blindly transferring information. Got it. What else can we do? The paper mentions using the code itself as a clue, like, I don't know, some kind of software ESP.
In a way, yeah. They were looking at whether By analyzing which parts of the code are actually running under different workloads, could that help predict these weird performance jumps?
So it's like, instead of just looking at the recipe, we're breaking it down step by step to see what our chef is actually doing at each stage of the process.
Exactly. And you know what? Sometimes it actually works. If a setting is controlling a very specific chunk of code, but the workload never even uses that code,
then that setting's basically useless, like having snow tires in the middle of summer.
Right. You got it.
But,
and this is where it gets really wild, it's not always that straightforward. Even when it's the same code running, how it's being used can make all the difference in the world.
Wait, you're going to have to unpack that one for me.
Imagine, right? You've got two chefs, same oven, same recipe, everything. One of them, total pro, every movement is efficient, everything's in its place. The other one, well, let's just say they're a bit dot messier. Same ingredients, same tools, but a totally different experience when it comes to how fast and how smoothly things are going. The workload can be like that messy chef, same code, totally different execution.
So it's not just about what code is running, but how much that code is being used, how intensely, because that all factors into the workload. This is fascinating stuff, but man, it gets complicated fast. So it's like the software version of too many cooks in the kitchen, only here it's more like poorly understood workload makes everything take forever.
Yeah, maybe a tad more dramatic, but you're not wrong. And that actually leads to this like really interesting question that the paper brings up. What if, instead of just trying to measure how these workloads affect performance, what if we could design like smarter workloads that could actually improve it?
Wait, hold on. I thought we just spent the last 10 minutes talking about how workloads are the problem. Now we're supposed to make them work for us.
It's a pretty radical idea, right?
Yeah.
Imagine like your to-do list, but instead of just listing out everything you need to get done, it actually rearranges itself throughout the day to help you power through it faster.
Okay, that would actually be life-changing. Sign me up. My inbox is basically begging for that kind of magic. But how does that even translate to, you know, actual software?
Okay, so imagine software that could actually analyze what you're doing, the tasks you're throwing at it, and then optimize itself on the fly. Based on that, like it sees you doing a bunch of small, quick tasks and it prioritizes those. But if it sees some huge, complicated job coming down the pipeline, maybe it starts getting certain resources ready in advance.
So it's like having a personal assistant for your software, anticipating your needs, making sure everything runs smoothly.
Yeah, exactly. We're talking about a whole different way of thinking about this. Not this static view of configuration.
Yeah.
It's something way more dynamic that actually responds to how we use e-software in the real world.
That's seriously cool, but also a little, I don't know, a little creepy.
Yeah.
Software that can think that far ahead. Are we talking about Skynet here?
Well, it's a challenge for sure. But that's what makes it so interesting, right? This paper is really just like dipping a toe into the potential of all this. Mm. When we start thinking about workloads, not just as like passive inputs, but as this active part of how well things perform, a whole world of possibilities opens up.
So we're not just trying to build faster software. We're trying to build smarter software that actually adapts to what we need from it.
Exactly. Yeah. Software that gets that the how is just as important as the what. And that, my friend, is a pretty massive shift.
Okay, you officially have my brain doing backflips here. We went from my phone being slow to potentially like revolutionizing how we design software all in like, what, 20 minutes?
And we're not even done yet. There's a few more layers to this onion we need to peel back.
Okay, well, you've got my attention. But before we get too abstract here, how about some concrete examples? How would this whole workload-aware thing actually play out in the real world?
Excellent question. Let's look at how this could change the game for like things we use every day. Databases, video games, even self-driving cars.
Now you're talking.
Yeah.
This is where it gets really interesting. All right, real world examples. Hit me with that aha moment where I really see this whole workload thing clicking into place.
Okay, how about this? Databases, we both use them, right?
Every single day.
So you know how sometimes you're searching for something online and it's like, boom, instant results. But then other times it's like you're waiting for like an actual year.
Oh, tell me about it. My abandoned Google tabs are a testament to that pain.
Right. So imagine with this whole workload aware design, the database could actually like analyze what kind of searches you're doing. It notices you're always searching for like very specific things. It can prioritize those, make them super fast. Even if it means some random uncommon search might take a little longer. It's like personalized performance tailored to you.
So it's like my own little database assistant that learns what I like and then optimizes everything on the fly. That's kind of amazing.
Exactly. Okay, now let's step it up, something a little more interactive. How about video games? Ever get that dreaded lag at the worst possible moment.
Don't even get me started. Recipe for rage quit right there.
The worst. But picture this. A game that actually knows when things are about to get crazy. So instead of wasting, like, precious processing power on rendering every leaf and pebble in the background, it shifts those resources to, like, right around the player, make sure the action stays smooth when it matters most.
So, like, during a big boss fight, the game's like, okay, gotta prioritize here. We can skip on the scenery for a sec, make sure this, I don't know, dragon's fire breath doesn't turn into a slideshow.
Exactly. And here's the best part. These adjustments, they happen so smoothly, the player doesn't even realize what's going on behind the scenes. Just boom, smoother gameplay, less frustration, more epic wins.
Okay, this is seriously impressive, but let's get real world, like really real world here. We're talking like self-driving cars. Those things are basically software on wheels already.
You're not wrong. And talk about unpredictable workloads, right? Okay, so imagine this self-driving car just navigating like a busy city street. Suddenly, bam. Ball bounces into the road, kid runs out to grab it, the car has to react instantly. And that means prioritizing certain things, like processing the visual data from very specific sensors, maybe even putting other stuff, like route planning, on hold for a second.
Yeah, I think in that scenario, I'd much rather have the car 100% focused on not hitting a kid than finding the absolute fastest route to the grocery store.
So priorities, right.
Exactly. Like life or death stakes here. That is the potential of this whole workload-aware design. When we really understand not just what the software is, but what it's doing and like what could happen if it fails, that's when we can build systems that are not just, you know, efficient, but adaptable, responsive, even, you know, life-saving. Wow, we went from slow phones to self-driving cars, dodging life-threatening situations all in like, what, 30 minutes? My mind is officially blown.
Mine too.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of the beauty of these deep dives, right? We end up with like way more questions than answers. But the important thing is we're starting to ask the right questions about the tech that's shaping like everything around us.
Love that. So as we wrap up this deep dive here, what's the one big takeaway you want to leave our listeners with?
I think it's pretty simple, actually. The way we use software is just as important as the software itself. And the sooner we really understand that, the sooner we can start building those truly smart, responsive systems that can, you know, keep up with us in our crazy, ever-changing needs.
Beautifully said. All right, folks, there you have it. Another deep dive successfully navigated. Be sure to hit up those show notes for links to the research paper and some other cool stuff we found along the way. And until next time, keep those workloads in check and never stop asking what if.
And hey, sometimes a little mess is a good thing, especially when it comes to breaking new ground.
Words to live by. See you next time.